We want to honor our mothers today, and Mother's Day always has its close association with love. And that's because mothers have it for their children. It's innate within them. Part of their equipment is that love for their children. Comes with the package. There's not any way around it. It's there. If you don't believe it, just try to take or hurt or criticize one of their children. There you'll find out. You mothers are fierce, actually, when it comes to your children's protection. I made it my priority not to get crossways with any of my daughters, Keisha, Erica, and Inger, and their children. They would rip your liver out if you tried to hurt one of their children. So we honor our mothers, and because it's a love that exists between mother and child. It's built-in love, unfeigned love. It's kind of like Coke. It's the real thing. It's the real deal. However, it's different than any other kinds of love. So on this Mother's Day, I want to take a look at these other kinds and compare them for a better understanding of God's love towards us. The Greek language of the Bible is written in what is known as Koine Greek. It is similar to classical Greek, but it was unique to a 400 or 500 year period of time in our history, and it was the language of the Bible along with Hebrew of the Old Testament and some Aramaic. I heard a preacher one time say in Peru, I don't know why we studied Greek in seminary. And this is just absolutely astonishing to me. Obviously, he didn't learn much in seminary, because there is so much to learn from taking a look at this language, this Greek language that the scripture was given to us in, and so much is lost without it in the study of scripture. And still, I always feel like I need to apologize for always using it here at the forum, but I can't help it. You will have to put up with some Greek lessons now and then, and I try to make them simple to where everyone can grasp it. So, this morning I want to address love in the Greek. And there are three main Greek words that are used for love in the scripture, and they're translated into the English, our English love. One of them is eros. One of them is phileo. And one of them is agapeo. That's an O. This is a verb. It also ends with a P-E, and that's a noun. But those are the three words in Scripture that are used and translated into our English language of love. First is the word eros. It is for passion, sensual desire. It is exotic and erotic. It comes in the Latin word amor, which most people are maybe more familiar with. Because of its unsavory associations and sexual overtones, it was absolutely unsuitable to express the holy and moral character of Scripture, love. This is why in the love chapter, if you recall, we see it translated charity is used in the place of amor, or the Latin amor, which would be wrong when used in Greek if we used the apageo word. So eros you do not find in Scripture, I think maybe only one time. I didn't try to look that up, but as I recall, it's hardly ever used, maybe only once. The second word, phileo, the best example of this is mother's love. It is and denotes the love of natural affection. It is an inclination that is visceral to mothers. It is original and spontaneous. It's almost involuntarily there. It would be proper to be inclusive of man and wife. It has sometimes, depending on the parties involved, like man and wife, the connotation of eros, but still only eros is not used with these relationships in Scripture so much. So here we find a reason for studying again the Koine Greek language. Phileo is never used of the love of men towards God, excepting of Christ's love for his Father. Christian artist and music portrays this kind of love too often. It is phileo. We love him. We are not in love with him, because God's love to man is but once expressed as phileo. God's love to man is expressed 99.99% of the time as agapio. So agapio. Now, there is something peculiarly about this word in that it is unknown outside of Scripture. You can't find it. Agape or agapeo, the noun, never occurs in Greek writings other than the Koine. You don't find it in Plato. You don't find it in Shakespeare. It's entirely absent even from Josephus, this word agapeo. It's like God has given us a new word in agapeo, because the language of men contained nothing high enough to denote this love in its fullest conceivable form. Man says, what is love? And the best we can come up with is it's a many-splendored thing. But the agapeo love is different than any of the other two or anything else that's described as love in writings. Agapeo is a love as a direction of the will. It is based on principle. It is to make much of a person. It is irrespective of rights. It is more from the head than from the heart. It is the love that he has for us, and the strange thing is that it is the love that we are to have towards our enemies. It almost has this connotation of respect. I have used the example before of Muhammad Ali and Frazier that had the heavyweights that had three fights and they just literally beat one another to death. I mean, brutal. They both ended up in the hospital as a result of those three fights. And yet, you know what? Today, they are friends. Why is that? Because they have experienced something that no one else can experience. And so what do they have? They have a respect for one another based on their profession. And it would be something that would be described by agapeo love. It is knowledge, not the heartfelt love of phileo. Now, I want to go further into this agapeo love. I want to point out 10 things that it marks, and I'm going to give you scriptures to prove it, okay? First, it marks the relationship of the Father to the Son. So, open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 15. John, chapter 15. Everybody got John 15? Go down to verse number 10. John 15, 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That is agapeo, and it describes the love of the Father in heaven to his Son, Christ Jesus. Turn over two or three pages to chapter 17. Chapter 17, we find the same thing, verse 26. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the Christ prayer. That the love wherewith thou hast loved me, that may be in them. The agape love. That's the first thing I would point out. The second thing that agape marks in Scripture is the redeeming love of God. Turn over to 1 John, where Tim read. 1 John chapter 4. I think 1 John chapter 4 should be described as a love chapter more so than 1 Corinthians 13. I don't know how that got that way, but 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse 4. Excuse me, verse 9. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Aristotle said, the deity exists not to be loved, but to be loved. Scripture reverses this. Verse 19 of that chapter. We love him because he first loved us. By the way, that's just the reverse of Allah and Islam. In Islam, if you love Allah, he will love you. But Christianity, God loves us first. The third thing I would point out that it marks is the distinction, the distinctive peculiarity of Christian love in relation to others. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, we're saints, I think, all of you. It says we should love one another, but this is with an agapeo love. I can say, for example, I agapeo, or I love Max Starkey. But I can say I phileo Rosemary. I love Rosemary, my wife. Here we see a difference. This agapeo is based on my love for Max because of God's love for him and his love for God. So there's this, you begin to see the difference. As you read the scripture then, you need to understand sometimes which one of these words is being used in order to better understand and comprehend what God is saying. You need to have some Greek, because it's essential. Sometimes one word makes a whole lot of difference in what is being said, and even the adjective that's used with it. For example, in agapeo makes it either a verb or a noun. Agapeo or agapeo. The fourth thing I think it marks is denoting the believer's relationship to God and to Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and to the patient waiting for Christ. It denotes the believer's relationship to God and to Christ. We find that same thing was true back in 1 John. I should have told you to keep your finger in there because I want to go back to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, let me read it for you. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. So whoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. That's why it's so important to study the scripture, to know him through the written word of God. Agapeo marks the nature of God himself, this word. Turn over to chapter 4 that Tim read from. Chapter 4, verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifest, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that he might live, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Verse 16 then of that same chapter. And we have known and believed the love that God hath given to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And that is an agapeo love. Knowledge, understanding, appreciation, respect. Not a phileo or a eros type of love. It marks the relationship of God's love with the sacrificial gift of Christ. And we saw that there, of course, in verse 9. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live. Live what? Live eternal life through him. It marks the need for the behavior and for the believer to manifest his love. We find that in verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And the words here are all agapeo type of existence. If you had that, what would the peace be in the United States? That's the problem. It's not there. The respect that I have for my friend Max is non-existent from one group of people to another in the United States. It marks the perfecting effect that casts out all fear. Verse 18. Of this fourth chapter. There is no fear in agapeo love. I added a little bit there, I know. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. One of the best examples I have of this, you've heard me say this, but I have several favorite characters in the Bible. Two or three of them I really like. One of them is Nehemiah. Remember, Nehemiah went down there to build the city walls. Some fabulous project. I can't believe it. He took 43,000 men, built the walls in 52 days, had to fight all the whole time he was doing it. And they said, some of his helpers were saying, Nehemiah, we got a word, they're coming to get you. They're gonna come kill you. Sanballat, his enemies that they were fighting against, are gonna come kill you. You better run and hide. Nehemiah said, I will not run. Should such a man as I run? I will not run. Why? He had no fear. He knew, whatever the case may be, in the last chapter of the book, he was going to come out on top. So perfect love casteth out fear. And I can't tell you what peace of mind that gives us. in this day and age. You know, is there going to be nuclear war? I don't know, but I'm not afraid. Because perfect love, agapeo love, the love he gave for us and the love we have for him, casts out all fear. Why? Well, our love for him is based on what? Knowledge, understanding, respect. The ninth thing that I would point out that this agapeo love marks in Scripture is found in the third chapter of 1 John. Go back to 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Christian love. The tenth thing that it marks is a love that is so complete and so assuring, so unchangeable, that we are Romans chapter 8. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Agapeo love marks that kind of confidence that we have in him. So last, I want to point out a verse in Philippians. Chapter 1, verse 9. You don't have to look it up. It's behind me on the wall. May your love abound in knowledge and discernment till the day of Christ. Quiz. What word is that? Love. Is it eros? Phileo? No. It's agapeo. And it is a noun, and it's agape. And so I think with this lesson in our demonstration of the various loves that mothers have, that husband and wife have, that Christ has for his Father, that we have for him, that we should have for one another, gives you an idea as to why I think we have to look at Greek once in a while. Okay? Let me say, I love you all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. And we're so grateful for that. And we're grateful that you were mindful enough of us that you sent your Son in love to give us eternal life. We thank you for that love because you've given us this written word whereby we can, through study of it, know your plan and purpose for the ages, and that we have no fear as a result. I continue to pray that we all may be rooted and grounded in your love, and that we all may continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of that love as we study your word. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.